Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right, so we're back with Chad Boyer, and we're going to have a discussion about book titles. But first, before we do, Chad, let's talk a little bit about what software you use and what services you use when you're writing.
Yeah, so my day job is a software developer, and so I like all of the tools, but I've realized that for writing, you don't need all the tools. So I basically use Word with the navigation tab open and write there. I outline in Word ahead of time and then just write over my outline. I save different copies out as I go. I do have, it's basically a notepad, but it's called Visual Studio Code, which allows me to open a folder up all at once, which then is where I keep all my notes. So it's just text files in there, but I keep all my notes. Basically, I think it does what Scrivener does for you. And once Scrivener comes out with a Windows version, I will probably be, they came out with it, but they say they're going to update it. So I'm not buying it just yet.
Yeah, I got Scrivener 1 and I used it because I found with Word, it was too difficult because I ended up writing a whole bunch of scenes separately and then trying to move them around because of better story order was just impossible. So Scrivener jumped out to me. And like you, I'm a computer guy. So I'm like, oh, well, this is more focused towards writing. And it has some nice features. And I was using it for a while. And they've been working on the version 3 for Windows. And they're trying to make it match the Mac version. And it was promised almost 2 years ago to be done. And I'll give them credit. They are still working on it. They are still fixing it. They are still making improvements. And to be truthful, I've been using the beta version of 3 for at least the last year, and I haven't had any problems, and I like it. I think the compile is a little wonky and difficult to learn and figure out.
Right.
But other than that, I'm having no problems with it.
All right. Yeah. I just uploaded the Word document directly to Amazon, so it compiled it all for me. And then when I kicked out the Mobi file, I just picked that up and put it into, I think it's Calibre, and used that to convert it to the other formats. So that wasn't too bad. But
does Calibre work well for you? Because I had trouble with Calibre. It seemed to make my manuscript looked worse than it was.
I haven't done it for publication because right now I'm exclusive to Amazon, but I did it for those friends and family that wanted an EPUB version rather than a Mobi version. So I didn't do a full walkthrough checking the formatting. I probably will at some point, but not just yet.
Other thing I was going to bring up, you're using a PC?
Yes.
Okay. The one thing I always hear everybody talking about is Vellum. But that's Mac only.
Correct.
So I've been toying with the idea of actually using Mac and Cloud just to use Vellum.
Yeah. There was a discussion about that on a podcast recently. Or maybe it was a YouTube video I saw, but basically, yeah, the trick with that though is Vellum is expensive.
Right. It's like
$300 or $400. And I think, I mean, I'm not planning on doing paperbacks anytime soon, which is what I think Vellum really excels at.
Yes. And that's actually why I want to use it, because I write middle grade fiction. And like 90% of them still prefer print.
Yep.
So I've got to push that.
I do know that the services do really well, and I don't know how well they do with Vellum, though.
Yeah, I'll have to see, which, you know, everybody says it does great. So I'll go with that. That, I mean, I can actually do a lot of the same stuff using Scrivener, the new compile in the beta of 3. But like I said, it's not the easiest to figure out and learn. They did not make the interface easy. And you should actually, you know, go check it out. The new beta, it's a pretty good working version, and it, you know, you could get it and try it. It's only usable up to like the 21st of this month, but what they've been doing is coming out with a new beta version before the old one expires. So I mean, I haven't paid for 3, and I've been using it for a year.
Oh, wow. So, okay. Cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
I sent you a link to the video where a guy uses Mac in cloud and tests out Vellum as beta.
That'd be nice.
There you go.
So our big topic of discussion that you brought up was choosing the title for your book. And you had some back and forth and some dissenting opinions on that. So tell us a little bit about the history here of why that's a good topic for you and what you learned about choosing a title.
Yeah, well, I've learned that I probably shouldn't have chosen the title that I picked. The reason I picked the title is I had like the ace is a armored combat exoskeleton, right? So that's part of the whole idea of the mecha, the big robots. And so I was like, I'll use ace, but without like the periods in there, just as a subtle nod to the machines that are inside. And then I had a whole idea of like poker type stuff where you're raising aces, you're holding aces, and you're playing aces or folding aces or something like that. And so I thought, or drawing aces would be another one. And so I thought drawing aces was going to be my first book, and then raising aces would be my second. And I messed that up. And so it's actually Raising Aces is my first book. But one of the things in the Writing Excuses podcast they said is don't make your title something that references something in the book, because the object of the title is to entice readers to read it. And if they're reading something they don't understand in the title, they're not going to pick the book up.
Right. And that makes sense.
And I thought aces was enough that maybe somebody would pick it up anyway, just because they see a giant robot on the cover. I mean, that's really what I'm trying to sell. So hoping that was the case, at least.
Well, you know, but I mean, arguably, and I'm not the expert, and obviously sales will be the telling factor, but raising aces, if you got a robot on there and it's military sci-fi, to me that speaks, you know, of a squadron or
right.
the top, you know, the flying aces, right. The Red Baron. Yeah, and all exactly. That.
And book two actually has five aces in it. But unfortunately, yeah, I totally agree. The other is, it's hard to say. That's the other point that I wanted to make, is the title needs to be, especially for military sci-fi, it's got to be punchy, it's got to be quick, and it's got to be easy to remember and easy to say. I had the guys over at Keystroke Medium pick me up as a sponsor. I didn't ask, they just did it as I joined in one of their live sessions. And it was really cool. I'd been going to their live sessions often. And so they were like, hey, Chad's finished a book. Let's put it up as the sponsor for this podcast. And he couldn't get the name right. So, and I didn't want to be like, actually, you said it wrong. You know, it was, well, that it is what it is kind of thing. So definitely if you're going to pick a title, make it short and sweet and easy to remember.
So the ACE was, what did the ACE stand for?
Armored Combat Exoskeleton.
So you could have aces in ACE.
Yes.
Aces in aces.
Yes. Yeah, I could. And yeah, but then that's like doubling down on,
right.
On the specific thing that the writing excuses guys tell you not to.
Right. Yeah. So do you have a like series title?
It was just Ace series. So I didn't really have a good title for that either. So yeah, titles. It's my albatross at the moment.
So if, I know a lot of people and even the pros in the trad, they will like at some point take down a book or a series and totally rename it, redo the covers. If you were going to redo that, what would you name the first book? What would you name the series?
Yeah. I haven't taken a step back and really thought deeply about it. It's the whole rebel versus empire situation. So I think I would try and capitalize on that, in some way, but, I haven't stepped back and really thought about it just because I want to get the books done first.
Right. Do you have any, I know we talked on the last set of the podcast about some of your favorite military sci-fi books. Do you have any books, any genre that you think had really good titles or some that maybe missed the mark, had bad titles?
Yeah. John Ringo has a series. And the first book is called Gust Front. And Gust Front is the air that comes before a storm. It's like a gust of air that hits before a storm. And his series about an alien invasion of Earth. And so I thought that was a really clever name for basically the attack going on to Earth before there were multiple waves that were coming behind it. So I really like that name.
Okay.
Military. It's a really good series.
I know there was a Stephen King book and the name is escaping me at the moment, unfortunately, from a couple years ago that I thought was a horrible name.
Stephen King gets to break rules though.
Well, yeah. Yeah. The book wasn't that good. And I thought the name sucked. Maybe it was Elevation. No, it might not. I think it was before that. But it was the one about the guy that could call the lightning down and he was connected to somebody and whatever, but the name like didn't do anything for me.
Oh yeah.
For the thing. But yeah, Stephen King can get away with it. And then you get names like, you know, Wonderful Wizard of Oz, which is spot on perfect, but also has kind of transcended whether it's a good name or not.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, Neal Stephenson with his Diamond Age, and then the subtitle is A Young Lady's Primer. Basically spot on to what that book is all about. And the fact that the Diamond Age is a nice homage to the fact that he has like nano machines attacking so much that they fall to the ground and are called toner, because all you get is that like toner grit, which then leads to carbon, which then leads to diamond. I thought it was a well-named book.
Here's an example, I think, of not so great of a title. Harlan Ellison's I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, if you're going to talk about not telling you anything about what it's about or anything. That's
yeah, very true. Very true.
And then you got other good classic titles like Tarzan of the Apes.
Yeah, right. Which tells you a little bit, but not that much.
Right. No? Yeah. And, you know, with your books, that's why I asked about the series title. Because even with it, you know, Raising Aces, if you have the right series title, it would probably together be just right enough to let people know and spark their interest, along with the cover and the blurb, obviously.
Yeah. And maybe I would do something like a Empire Shattered series or something like that, where
I like that.
Kind of brings a better break. I'll definitely look at changing the titles once the trilogy's finished.
You could just do something along the lines of Great Big Robot Fighting.
Yeah,
nails it there.
And the Civilization games, when you get to the giant robots, it's just giant death robots. And it's all written in caps.
It sounds more like an anime.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So with this whole discussion, what advice might you give new authors about choosing the title? Anything else? Because you've already mentioned a bit about what Writing Excuses said and what you would do different. Do you have any other pointers?
Yeah, I think just clear, concise, have it point to something about your book so somebody can tell, based on the title, what your book's about, or at least get a good gist of it and make it memorable. Like, you don't want somebody thinking, oh, what was the name of it? I'll tell you later, and then by the time it's later, they've forgotten and moved on. Right. Because word of mouth is, like, for at least India, well, for any author, really, word of mouth is how you get sales. So, right.
So do you have any tricks or anything you've developed to help get that feedback from other readers see if it is a good title?
Polls with your readers list is always a good thing. And then, like, your writer's group or whatnot, though, make sure that your writer's group actually knows your genre, because you don't want to be polling like romance writers if you're writing in sci-fi, and vice versa for that matter.
Right. You don't want to call it cute, cuddly robots.
Exactly.
Right. And that's also an important factor with the critiquing itself. I know a lot of writer's groups, people jump into that. That's one of the first things. I've learned to take anything in a writer's group with a grain of salt, because we had one guy that read something, and it was a horror story, and he had more he gave us than what he actually read to us. And I was reading ahead and picking up on some things, and this one guy was like ripping the manuscript apart that it didn't give us the conflict in the first page, and we should have known this about that main character and stuff. I'm like, no, I totally disagree. I said, what you're saying may be great for thrillers, but it's not so great for horror. I said, horror needs a buildup. Horror needs some of that mystery and suspense.
Right.
And I think the same goes with titles too, that, you know, a romance title, it would be totally different. Even if it was a romance title set in the military with robots,
right,
it would have a different title than the action fighting military, or even if it was more of a space opera, you know, along the lines of Firefly and Star Wars, it different title. So you're right. If, you know, letting other authors take a look at the title can help, but I think, like you said, doing the polls and finding your readers and getting their feedback is way more important. And probably also you don't want to just ask 500 million, because you'll get 500 million different, you know, responses.
Right.
You know, it's probably hard as a very new author, but finding your readers that love that type of stuff, those are the ones you want 10 of or something.
Right. To give exactly.
So do you have a writer's group that there are sci-fi military people in it that you go to?
Not right now. I basically have written this one solo for the most part. I do have several friends that read sci-fi, and so I've given chapters to them to kind of critique and be like, does this read correctly per se? Mm-hmm. But most of my interactions with sci-fi authors have been online and via email.
Okay. All right. Well, Chad, I appreciate the talk. Do you have any last words either about your book or for new authors?
Yeah, I think for new authors, just keep writing. I know it's cliche and everybody says it, but you won't be done unless you keep writing.
Right.
So set a word goal each day and hit it, or set a word goal each week and hit it, and keep going.
Great. All right. Well, Chad, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to me today. A really good discussion.
Hey, thanks a lot, Stephen.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.